So our next presenter is Linda Delp from the UCLA Labor Occupational Safety and Health Program. She's also an adjunct faculty member in Community Health Sciences at the UCLA School of Public Health. As Amalia had referenced, UCLA Loesch is one of the university partners that have been working for the last few years under the heat illness prevention campaign, which is what Linda's going to talk about today. And I'll also mention that Linda, our program at UCLA has been for 8 years now, has been hosting OHIP students, some of whom have worked in various ways on this campaign, and I think Linda might mention a little bit about that as well.
Thank you, Kevin. So we are based in Southern California. We're based in Los Angeles. People always think urban environment, you know, it's agriculture where workers are affected. Amalia already referred to the error of thinking that it just affects agriculture workers. But in Southern California, it's not just Los Angeles. It's not just like asphalt. We do have agricultural fields as well. I want to acknowledge not only Kevin Riley, but also Sarah Jacobs, De Gracia Cornelio, as other partners in the Southern California campaign to work with our partners statewide to implement the heat illness prevention campaign. So I'm going to go over briefly what the campaign involves, UCLA Loesch strategies in Southern California, which are not unique to Loesch, but what I'd like to do is really talk about some of the successes and challenges we've had in trying to implement some of these kinds of strategies, community-based outreach partnerships with Promotores, a popular education train-the-trainer model, and then the real challenge of longer-term capacity building around worker health and safety in Southern California, summarize some of the strengths and constraints of education, and then recommendations, lessons learned. So you've heard all about this, the key components of the HEAT standard. And as both Amalia and Bob said, some parts of this have been hotly debated. I just want to add one other thing from a Southern California perspective. This actually started in the 80s with Selma Benjamin, who was a librarian working with a Librarians Guild, and she was an AFSCME member, I believe. And she was one of the people and built a coalition through LA Cosh to proposed petition for a heat standard that would have applied to outdoor and indoor workers. That, as some standards go, went for a very long time and kind of fizzled and died and then reemerged, as you heard with Bob, focusing specifically on outdoor workers and agriculture. But we interviewed, Kevin and I interviewed her a couple of months ago just to get a little bit more of that story, and we actually think that we should really acknowledge her. She's really an amazing woman. Now libraries have air conditioning, but at the time they didn't, and during heat waves they were actually suffering pretty considerably from indoor heat. Target occupations, you've already heard about this, and I am not going to expand any further. The partners, there's a million and one community-based organizations and other organizations that we've worked with, but from our perspective in terms of who we worked most closely and consistently since 2010 when this started, there's the university-based programs and then the government agencies. And you'll hear more from Suzanne Turan about LOHP in the next session, the next presentation. So this campaign involved assessment focus groups, et cetera. We did them throughout the state. Materials development, LOHP took the lead, and you see one example right there. Social media campaign, webinars, I think all of us were involved throughout the state. Trying to make a hotline that workers could call more effective, and I would say that's a work in progress. And then I'll focus specifically on outreach education and train-the-trainer programs, which we've used throughout the state, but I'm going to speak specifically to our work in Southern California. So the challenge that we face is a huge region, a huge population, and how can we do sufficient and adequate outreach education and longer-term capacity building beyond with our limited resources. So you see some of the statistics up there and the range of rural to urban occupations, about two-thirds of the state's workforce, three-quarters of the Latino workforce is more or less in that region. And so it's a huge challenge. We are fortunate that there are important worker advocacy groups and campaigns in Southern California, but we worked historically primarily in the LA area. We started to work more closely in Orange County, San Bernardino, and Riverside, in particular with warehouse workers. But this campaign requires reaching the whole state, where there are considerable workers in need of this kind of education, and it's very challenging. So the strategies that we, and like I said, others throughout the state have implemented are community-based partnerships beyond working with labor and worker centers, because there are many workers in the region, I'd say throughout the state, but I know more about Southern California, who are not linked with worker advocacy campaigns per se, and then trying to adopt and apply a popular empowerment education and train the trainer program in this particular campaign, and looking at capacity building not only to deal with preventing heat illness, but also how can we get community groups, health centers, housing, education groups that are really invested in the community to become a little more aware of the role of work and health, and how can we become more aware of the issues that they're working on. I know the theme of this conference is total worker health, and I'd like to say in this case, it's really critical. If you're looking at total worker health among an immigrant low-wage population, you can't just look at what do people do during their working hours, but also some of the constraints that they face in terms of housing, education, and other kinds of needs for other resources. So in a nutshell, here's the model. And again, this is, the example is from our program, but it's been adapted elsewhere. So Elosh is the core partner here. We have been working for many years with health promotores and with community groups, in particular through outreach through the consulates, working with the statewide network of health promotores, which is Visión y Compromiso, working with different campaigns like day laborers, car wash workers, etc. So building on those relationships, we decided to specifically hire three promotores for this campaign, and that we worked with them. Basically, we built on some of the ongoing relationships Loesch had, but we also then expanded our network and our relationships through the relationships that the three promotores themselves had. There's an amazing network of promotores in California, in Southern California for sure. And so these are the statistics from last year, because the ones from this year are just now coming in. But they're very similar. So we reached about, last year, 70 community organizations that we co-sponsored the Train the Trainer sessions with. Trained 159 peer trainers, and then they reached out in a sort of snowball networking effect to reach workers. And so this shows you the range of different kinds of organizations that we worked with to co-sponsor the Train the Trainers, with the idea that we hope to build ongoing relationships with them to sustain not only heat illness prevention programs, but also other worker health and safety programs. So you can see the range of education, faith-based healthcare clinics, housing, immigrant services, legal services, union, worker groups that we've been working with in agriculture, car wash, construction, household workers, landscaping, warehouse, and then the populations were primarily Latino, but also some of the indigenous populations where we had some relationships with service organizations in that area. And those were the five Train the Trainer locations. So here is the basic idea, and I wanted to point out that the trainers in this case, the two in the front on the right, are the promotores, and then on the left, the idea is to try to make government agencies a little more accessible to workers. So we had, as often as we could, CalOSHA representatives, the guy on the left in the red shirt, Mariano Kramer, come to the workshops to be a resource person as well, so that the government agency of CalOSHA wouldn't be some abstract foreign organization that people couldn't really access. So here's just examples. The purpose of the courses were to convey, obviously, knowledge about heat illness, symptoms, protection, prevention. Also, skills building on the right. You can see people practicing, doing training sessions themselves. And then also how to exercise those rights, so to take some kind of action. And so at the end of each train the trainer, people filled out an action plan with the organization that they were going to be working with to try to do outreach and education, and what their plan was. Here's just an example of, on the left is in the Inland Empire, where temperatures can soar easily above 100, 110 degrees. And on the right is with the car wash workers. They, in conjunction with some interns, developed some extremely creative tools. They developed a little comic book. They developed a skit that really engaged workers in terms of how to recognize the symptoms, but also using the regulations. So the really challenging aspect is capacity building. And we're like, you know, we really want to build capacity. We aren't the first ones doing this. So we looked at a bunch of literature, talked to different groups, and this was just one model that we looked at in terms of different approaches to capacity building. I want to say the two in the middle are probably the ones that we started, that we focused on most, which is sort of the bottom-up approach, providing skills through the train the trainer to staff and volunteers from different organizations that you saw, and then trying to develop longer-term partnerships with those organizations to support them, with the longer-term goal of some kind of community organizing where we're joining forces across the whole network of organizations to really push for stronger, more effective regulations, to push for education, et cetera. We're a little ways from that, but I just wanted to show that based on some of the feedback from the trainers, I feel like we have the beginnings of a network. So these just came in, so we haven't even translated them for the report into English yet. But the idea is that people who've gone through the training say, we want ongoing support. When is there going to be another meeting like the one we had, like the train the trainer, so we can have a follow-up, so we can be connected? It would be great if we could have a little coalition. And then they were reiterating, this was towards the end of the campaign, and we just kept on having heat waves. So the temperature here has still been like 110 degrees. And then the commitment of the trainers who went through this, one woman said, this is my third year as a trainer and I would really like to continue working on this. I love the design and the structure of the campaign. And then the idea of organizational support and how can we link those trainers with the organizations in some kind of ongoing way, because we co-sponsored the training with the organizations, but some of the people who came were not directly connected. So how do we make those connections at a local level? So one group that works with day laborers is called Confía en Ti. And so this one guy who'd been in the training said, well, with the support of Confía en Ti, we would like to invite even more compañeros, more day laborers, to take the training in the future. And in that way, the day labor group that works with Confía en Ti can really take the information and use it more formally. So I feel like we're making some progress, but we have a little ways to go. So some of the strengths and constraints of education, you've actually already heard some examples, but the socio-political and economic context. So power dynamics in terms of fear. So these are also feedback from the trainers. Sometimes the workers say, yeah, I know the theme, but we can't really put it into practice, what we know, because the workers that we were doing the training with, they say that they need work. This is not new. We've all heard this. And so applying the protection methods that we learned, we're just afraid we're going to get fired. This is very loosely translated, by the way. And then another, reiterating that theme, workers are afraid to actually file complaints with Cal OSHA. And then the power dynamics also go in terms of the, apply to the limitations of the trainers. And we have to be very cautious. We can only distribute the information actually at the workplaces with Los Rancheros about the symptoms and how to prevent heat illness, but the information about workers' rights and heat regulations, no way, we have to do that outside the workplace. We're also constrained by the limitations of the regulation, and you've heard piece rate, production quotas, that applies both outside in agriculture. It also applies in warehouses where people really have very, very fast-paced work that they have to meet. What is sufficient in terms of shade? That's hotly debated. I don't have a picture to show taking breaks, but Amalia already talked about that. And so The third one that I don't have up here is that the regulation applies specifically to outdoors, and we know that workers indoors are affected, in particular in the Inland Empire, where there's thousands of workers working in warehouses, and there's been some other presentations here about that. And so I want to end with saying we wrote up an article for the New Solutions Journal. There's copies on the back table because we wanted to put out what we feel like some of the successes have been, but to have a dialogue about how do we go forward in terms of facing the challenges of longer-term capacity building. And I would say some of the lessons that we've learned and the recommendations are, number one, that regulations and education are necessary but not sufficient. We need stronger Kelosha resources. I'm really curious to see what FedOSHA can do with the education and the materials piece, but without any standard. Here, at least in California, we have a standard. So that's one. Number two is we had to expand the length of the train-the-trainer from between 2010 and 2012 because people were not really understanding enough about their rights and how to use Kelosha as an agency. And so, you know, all the things that we wanted to teach them in a 4 to 6 hour train-the-trainer, so we had to expand that. And then lastly, ongoing resources are really critical. Stipends for people who come to the training. If we're doing peer training, and getting out into the community, people have extremely limited resources. And then I'd say ongoing resources. We've been really fortunate that we've been able to do this 3 years in a row, but to really continue the capacity building and support, we need to maintain it. Thank you.